part into our lives and become part of us. So God's wisdom isn't some esoteric, highfalutin, complex words that are so hard that nobody can understand them. Book of Proverbs makes it very practical. It's about our hungers, our relationships, and our words. Words have power. Power to tear down. Power to build up. And if you read the Cavanaugh Chronicles, you'll know where I got that illustration from in the children's sermon about demolition versus construction, about the power of words. Words are powerful. Words have ability to draw someone to know Christ. But how did we know about the gospel? Words. Words are spoken. Words were understood. Words also have the power to chase people away from Christ, to drive people further from Him. So we're surrounded by words all day long, and oftentimes we don't pay much attention to them. But in the Word of God, it does pay a lot of attention to words. Of all the Proverbs, 101 verses deal with the tongue, the lips, the mouth, some form of talking about how we speak. 101 verses. The only topics talked about more is the actual topic of wisdom and evil. Just an enormous amount of time of Proverbs is spent on words. And it's said over and over and over again because I think we're kind of dense and we need to hear about being careful with our words a lot so that we can make some changes in our own lives. So last week we looked at Proverbs chapter 9. Today we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 10 because it's a good place to start when we talk about words. And Sam's going to read for us.
Today's scripture reading is from Proverbs chapter 10, 6 through 14 and 18 through 21. Before I read, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you open our hearts to hear your words. We just ask that you can let these words resonate in us and that we can apply them to our lives so that we can be witnesses to others. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Sam. Well, I want to start with a joke. I always tell you it's a joke so you know I'm trying to be funny. This joke takes place in a remote monastery in the middle of the woods, far from Lancaster County, so far away. And it follows three monks who have taken a rigid vow of silence. The vow can only be broken once a year at Easter, where one of the monks can speak one sentence. Besides that, silence. So on Easter, Brother John, it's his turn to speak. So he says, "I love the delightful mashed potatoes that we have every year with the Easter roast." That's his sentence. Silence for the next 365 days. The next Easter comes around, and Brother Michael stands up. He says, "I think the mashed potatoes are lumpy and disgusting." And silence ensues for the next 365 days, where once again, Easter comes around finally, and it's Brother Paul's turn. And he says, "I'm fed up with this constant bickering." Words. Words have power, right? They have power to build community. They have power to tear community apart. Words can be a blessing or words can be a curse. So no wonder the Bible speaks so much about the power of our tongues. My outline this morning is, first, I just want to do a quick overview about the power of words. Just to kind of quick glimpse at that. And then, secondly, look at the problem that words cause, the problem. And then third, end with a plan for the church. So first, the power of words. We are people who are surrounded by words all day long. Words are how we know what's going on. Words are how we build relationships. Words are how we connect and share our hearts. Words are also, though, the fire that seeks to destroy community. Words can cut like a knife. Words can either build up or they can tear down. Proverbs 18:21 puts it very starkly. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the Bible covers from cover to cover the power of words. You'll probably think a lot about James as we go through these verses because he also speaks about the power of the tongue quite a bit. But we hear the message that we need to be careful with our words. Careful. James uses the word, keep a tight rein on your tongue. And I think we need to hear that again and again because how often do we take words just lightly? We use phrases like, oh, I was just kidding about that. Or, they just need to toughen up. Or, it's okay, everybody speaks a little lie every now and then. We either think that or we say that because we don't want to take words carefully. On the other hand, Kathleen Nielsen has provided this sentence that shows us how important words are. She writes, "We are created as word creatures in the image of our word-speaking God, who spoke and created the world," right? The power of words. God spoke and it came to be. "Who mercifully speaks to us and is breathed out word." Isn't that how the Bible is often described? The breathed out word of God, living and active. "And who has sent us the word made flesh, his son." Right? How does John begin talking about Jesus? He calls him the word. The word was in the beginning, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Word. Wow. Wrap our heads around how powerful these words are. Words are powerful because they have consequences. And words spoken in hate bring damage to people and relationships. Words spoken in love can, on the other hand, bring reconciliation and hurt or healing from the hurt that has been caused. Truth and love is a rare and valuable thing, and it brings growth and those aha moments in our lives. A word timely spoken is a precious thing. Proverbs 10:20 that we just read says, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver." Isn't that beautiful? Choice silver. "But the heart of the wicked is of little value." Little value. Puts up the contrast there again. Or we can look at Proverbs 25:11-12 that says, "Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a ruling rightly given. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is the rebuke of a wise judge to a listening ear." So the right word, whether it be a harsh word or a good word, I mean a harsh word in the sense of a corrective word, is beautiful. Beautiful, to be treasured, to be something that we desire more of. To have these words spoken that bring life, that bring correction, that bring direction to us. Words are spoken. God speaks words. We talked about those wonderful words of life. We sing about them and how beautiful and wonderful they are because they impart life to us and to those who listen. So that's my quick overview of the power of words. I didn't feel I needed to spend a whole lot of time because I think you understand that they are powerful. So I want to move on to the problem with words. And that is our world is on fire with bad words, with hateful words that stir up dissension, that are breaking community. We see this all around us. And just last weekend, there were two tragedies that rocked our United States. In Buffalo, there was another mass shooting. And what did the investigators do? They started looking at his words, hateful words posted. There was another incident last Sunday where a Taiwanese church, someone went in there and trapped everybody and started shooting. And what did they do there? They looked at his words and said he had a lot of hate in his heart. So I'm sure we could talk about gun control, but I don't have any intention of doing that. I want to talk about anger control and lip control. Let's talk about the power of words that they have to shape us and to shape our community. Because right now we're living in a midst of society where words have run wild and have caused a lot of damage. A lot of the hate, I think, in our culture comes from the anger and the frustration and the fears and looking to blame someone else for our problems. But you know what, church? We have a choice in what we listen to and what we don't listen to. It was Proverbs 17:4. It says, "The wicked person listens to deceitful lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue." What does that tell us? That we have a choice, right? We can decide, are we going to listen to evil speech, or are we going to just walk away from a conversation that's filled with spite? Are we going to allow in our minds and our hearts the words that spew forth from the television that might be just derogatory or harmful? Or are we going to change the channel? Are we going to listen to vulgar speech on the radio? Are we going to say, I'm not going to let that in to my mind? Are we going to hit the close button on our social media feed when the things start getting inflammatory and blaming and spewing things that aren't helpful words? They're deceitful words. They're destructive words. Friends, we may not be able to control what people say, but we can control a lot of what we listen to and what we choose to listen to. And that's important because on the problem side of things, what we allow in our ears goes down to our hearts, and it has an effect on us. And it shapes our heart. And out of our heart, we'll then hear what words are spoken forth. So that is the problem, but there is also a solution. But before I get to the solution, using words to build up and to encourage, I just wanted to encourage us with a little two-minute video that we can watch here. Friends, we are to hold out the word of life to a dying world. That is our mission. It's a dangerous mission. It's a tough mission. In a world of hate speech, we speak God's love. In a world of wounded people, we speak a message of forgiveness. In a world that doesn't want to hear truth, we speak the truth. We speak God's truth. Courageously and boldly. Therefore, we enter in our conversations prayerfully. Friends, as we engage with words, we want to bathe them in prayer, that we seek the Holy Spirit to give us the right words to speak at the right time, because it's only in His power that can accompany those words. We also examine our words. We also are careful of what we hear coming out of our mouth. Sometimes if we had a little dictaphone and we played back our words throughout the day, we might be surprised at some of the words that come out of our mouth, might we? And think about how they shape others, how they influence others, how they impact others. The Bible tells us to keep that rein on our tongue, and the only way to do that is to kind of examine what we hear ourselves speaking and to say, is this helpful? Is this hurtful? What's the happening because of these words that I'm choosing to speak? And we do have power to control our tongues and to control what we say. Sometimes I think we say, well, it just came out, I didn't mean it. And yet, I'll push us on that. Perhaps it came out because it's some hurt in our own heart that hasn't been dealt with. So we ask, you know, why did we say something? But also, so we need to be prayerful in our conversations. We need to be careful with our conversations. And we need to be filled with God's word, to let our hearts and minds receive the message of the gospel. Friends, we need to inundate our own hearts and minds with God's word, with His beautiful words, with those wonderful words, the words of correction and reproof and direction and guidance from God's mouth, with His message of wisdom. And we need to continually be filled with that, be filled with His love and power. What did that video say? It said we need to speak with love as Jesus did. We need to listen to the words of Jesus. We need to hear His words and receive His words. I think it was one of His parables, He said, you know, my sheep know my voice. They know my voice. And I think that prods us to say, are we listening to our shepherd? Are we hearing His message spoken to us? Do we fill our hearts and minds with Him, His words to nurture and to water the faith that is in our hearts? Why should we care about our words? What's our motivation? Well, we need to be motivated in this battle of words to restrain our careless words and the right time to speak wise words. We might say, well, that's too hard. Can't someone else do that? No, we need to do that because Jesus says that we are going to give an account for every word we speak. Matthew chapter 12, and if we believe Jesus, we need to pay attention to what He says. He says that our words express our hearts. They're like the fruit that comes from a tree, and that they are showing forth what's in our heart. And so He says this in Matthew 12. I'll just read it. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. You can put it in parentheses or type. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Serious words. A message paraphrased as that simply with, words are powerful, take them seriously. So if that's too much to hold in your mind, hold on to the message paraphrase there, that we are going to give an account for our words because our words express what's going on in our heart. So we might be feeling, well, we're in trouble then. All of us might be feeling that right now because what is coming out of our mouth may not be reflecting the best part of our heart. But the good news is that only Jesus spoke perfectly, okay? So the gospel is that we all fall short. We all fail in our words. And it's even as serious as the words that we have spoken unkindly to others, we've spoken unkindly against their Creator, against the Lord. And so we see the seriousness of our bad vocabulary, but also we see Jesus who spoke truth and love and the right words and the truthful words in the right way that we need to hear as fallen people. He spoke God's words of life. And we have received that word, and it has, what's the Bible say, taken away our hearts of stone and given us hearts of flesh. It has given us a heart transplant and given us new life. And that new heart may not have perfect language. It may still have some language. It does still have language that is coming from some of the hurts that we have. But we have a heart that is new and beating with the life that God has given. And we can be nurtured and grown through what we hear and what we choose to speak. Because as we speak good, we will propagate more of God's goodness in us. And as we speak through out of our selfishness and our sinfulness, out of the evil, out of the foolish babbling that Proverbs 10 talks about, then we're going to be cycling down. So we will, let's see here. God has given us a new heart and has replaced our heart of stone with a heart of flesh. And as we have been forgiven, now we can start using that power that is within us to forgive others. And we can seek to undo some of the damage that has been done. Because friends, we all know that we have done damage with our words, if we're honest. Hopefully we're honest. But how are we going to fix that? It's not by giving them the silent treatment. It's by going back and speaking other words of humility, other words of asking for forgiveness, other words that we need to hear as well that can bring healing to relationships. It was, I think it was verse 12 in there. It says that hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Friends, words of love cover offenses. That's repeated twice in the New Testament, that phrase there. They take it right from Proverbs 10. And it speaks about, I think, ultimately Jesus. Jesus, the example of God's love, the perfection of his love, who covers over with his own death all of our offenses. And if we have had our offenses covered over by God's love about his care for us, then we are now enabled to do that for one another. We're able to not stir up strife, but rather really care about the other person, want their best as well. So where does the church to go? I think that was my third point that I need to get back to here. Where do I want a plan for the church to be? Well, I want us to be people who speak words of blessing, of forgiveness, of speak out of what we have received from God, that we have been forgiven and we can now speak words not of hurt, but of forgiveness. Let us be a church that chooses to make amends with our words. Let us also be a church that speaks the blessings, speaks the good words, builds others up in the faith by the power of our words that we have. After alongside one of the practices we added to our Sunday, our Sabbath practice is we'll speak blessings over our kids now. So at the end of the meal, at the Sunday dinner, we'll put our hands on our kids' heads and we'll speak words of blessing on them. And using our words to build them up. Words that God has given to speak into their lives intentionally. And the kids love it. They love the attention. They love those words that are shaping their character. And I thought, you know, that's an easy practice in the house, but can we not do something similar in our community, in our church, where we're intentionally using our words to encourage and to build and to support one another? And can we not receive the blessing that our Heavenly Father has given as he's put his hand on our head and spoken words of life to then speak that to one another as well? So let's be a church that speaks blessings. And let us also be a church that speaks good news. Good news. Friends, we have received the best news of ever, that while we were dead, God has made us alive in Christ Jesus and has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ and has redeemed our lives and fitted us for his children as his children, that we've been accepted and loved by Almighty God. And those words are to be shared, right? To be shared with others, to encourage them, to let them know how much God loves them as well. So let us be a church that speaks forth the good news of the gospel. And I just want to close with this one right here, James 1:19 and 20. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Okay, that's what God is. He's slow to anger. "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So may we be a church in the midst of a society that is quick to speak and quick to anger and slow to listen. Let us live countercultural with our words because we're following Jesus. Friends, this doesn't take, this isn't an easy mission. It's not going to be switched our vocabulary overnight, but let's pray for it. Let's pray for the words that exemplify Little Britain Presbyterian Church to be beautiful words, wonderful words, life-giving words. And when we speak too quickly, that we might be those that act quick to ask for forgiveness as well. Let us pray. Oh Lord, your words are true and they speak life into us, literally. You breathed out into Adam and he became a living being. And Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Breathed out of your mouth comes life and joy and beauty and happiness and glory and transformation and making all things right and good. Too often our words spew out vindictiveness and anger and grumbling and hurt to others because we're sinful. So Lord, we confess that to you. We own up to it. We acknowledge that our words have not reflected you. But Lord, we ask for that transforming work to continue in our lives, that you have spoken life into us and that you would continue to allow our ears to hear and our hearts to be shaped by your good news, and that we would believe it more and more, and that we would therefore, out of that good treasure that you have put into us, speak forth good to our world that is so quick to hate. To speak good to our world that is in such pain that they're just longing for someone to speak words of forgiveness and grace to. Oh Lord, may our words be guided by your Spirit, for you are our only hope to have wise words. We make this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.